such an honor to stand before my family, because you're my family, you're my church. And these students right here are my family, and they don't realize how much they mean to me and my wife. And the college wrestlers that I get to meet, they're my family because I love them and I respect them and they respect me. And I'm not going to get ahead of myself right here, but God is so good. And I've prayed all week. I said, God, I need something to help my family with this week. And I truly feel like he's giving me what we need. And, you know, I'm a part of this church and y'all are part of this church. And visitors that's been coming, praise the Lord, you're coming and you're still coming. And the church, you know, we're going through a struggle right now. But God is bigger than anything we'll ever face. He's bigger than all the problems we'll ever focus on in our lives combined. God's bigger. And God's got an answer to every single one of these problems. And God's got an answer to our future. And God's got an answer to every single thing you'll ever face in your life if you'll trust him and give him your life. I promise you, he's the greatest thing that's ever lived. He's alive forever. He'll never die. He's God Almighty. There's no one. He's never lost. I thought about that, and I'm going to tie some wrestling stuff into this. And you boys, win or lose, sometimes you lose and sometimes you win, but Jesus Christ has never lost nothing. Satan is defeated before he ever started, before he ever was cast out of heaven. He was defeated before he ever left. And he's never going to lose. Jesus Christ is never going to lose anything. He's won it all. He defeated death, hell, and the grave for us. That's who Jesus Christ is. He's the greatest thing that's ever lived. And then, you know, I knew some of the college kids was going to come today, but then when they brought their parents, it scared me to death. And Jenny said, are you nervous? And I said, yes, I am. But it's good to be nervous, because if you can get up here and preach the Word of God and not be nervous, there's something wrong with you. You got to feel it. You got to know it. But the Holy Spirit, there's nothing Tim Kirby can do today without the help of the Holy Spirit. I want you to pray that. That's what we need to pray. But before we get started, I do want y'all to pray for my family. My Uncle Fred passed away yesterday, and he was my last uncle on my daddy's side. He was Fred Kirby. And a lot of people used to ask me in school, is that Fred Kirby your uncle? And I would say yes, because it was not a lie. And then they would say, well, do you get into Tweetsie Free? And I'd say no, because my uncle's not that Fred Kirby. I said, my uncle's a different Fred Kirby. But they said, well, so he ain't got no horses. I said, yeah, he's got horses, but he's not that Fred Kirby. So I do have an uncle named Fred, and I pray that y'all will help there. Where they wanted me to help in the service on Tuesday. But he was the youngest brother, and his nickname was Babe. And he was always remembering me, always made faces at me, always smiled at me. But his wife kept telling me, and me and Jenny, we almost didn't go today because we're going to go down today and see my mom and spend Mother's Day basically with her this evening. But I almost didn't go. And then I told Jenny, I said, no, I've got to go see him. And they just put him in hospice Friday evening. And they gave him a week, and they said his kidneys were shutting down. And the Lord just pressed on me. He said, go, go, go. And they give him some medicine to relax him, and he couldn't wake up. And his wife's name Dot, and she'd try to get him to wake up. Tim's come down here to see you. And then she keeps saying, he thought so much of you. And I'm nothing, but my uncle loved me. And he's got dementia. He's had dementia for nearly 20 years. And every time he would come hear me preach, I'd get to the back, and he'd hug me, and he'd say, that's good preaching. And I love my uncle, but he's gone now. But there's part in this sermon that I'll see him again, because he kept asking Aunt Dot yesterday. He said, I'm ready. He said, where are we going? And she'd say, where are you going, Fred? And we didn't know it, but we left that place, and within an hour, he passed away. But God took him. There was no struggle in that man, because he knew who the Lord was. Therefore, if you know who the Lord is, I don't want to die, but I'm not afraid to die. You can't be afraid to die. If you're afraid to die, you need to check on your salvation. You need to know that when you shut your eyes and you take your last breath, you're going to be seeing Jesus face to face. That's the promise of the Word of God. That's what He is. That's who He is. And Mike started, and y'all know how I am. I've got to do this before I can preach. Y'all been around me a long time, but Brother Mike started talking about respect, and I'd read something this week about respect, and you know, respect is earned. That's true. A man has to earn respect.
But I'm going to tell you something else, and this really stuck out to me. Respect is also a choice someone gives you. They choose to respect you or not by the way you live your life and the way that you are an ambassador for Christ. But these college kids, they respect their coach, and I respect them because they respect their coach. He's going to make you better men, I promise you that. And that's what I love about Coach John Mark. And he stood up last week, and this church going through a little bit of turmoil right now, but him and his wife want to do something to help these kids and to bring more kids into this church. This church can grow if we'll allow it. Don't be a hindrance. Look at what God's doing. We need to get a hold of the big picture. We don't know God's plan. We don't know God's purpose with what's going to happen with Mount Lebanon right now, but He does. It can get really big, really fast if we'll allow it. Don't hold Him back. Don't just keep praying, and God's going to reveal, because God will get the glory, I promise you. Through no matter what. No matter what. All right, now I'm finally maybe ready to start. But y'all have been around me a long time. You know what I have to do. But if you will, turn to 1 Corinthians. This is pretty lengthy scripture, but I was praying, and I said, God, I want to help my family. I said, please allow me to help my family. And church, you're my family. But I'm going to call the body of Christ. When I'm talking about family in this message, it's going to be the body of Christ. Or if you're a believer of Christ, you're in the body. You're in that body of Christ if you're a believer. If you're not, you're not. That's what the Bible says. It's not what Tim thinks. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to read from 12 to 27. Miss Mildred, you probably ought to put me a quart of water up here today. But starting in verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." It's that one Spirit that we're all, that's the common denominator in each and every single one of our lives, is the Spirit. If the Spirit does not bear witness of you, and you don't bear witness of the Spirit, you're not a child of God's. That's plain and simple. That's who God is. He made it simple. Verse 14 says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling?" 18 says, "But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." I'm going to stop right there. I think a lot of times when we get to the elderly, and I respect the elderly men in this church because I glean from them. You need to always glean from somebody that's older than you and been through more than you. You need to always do that. And that's how a church carries on, is by gleaning from what's already happened. You can't start from scratch and say, all right, we're going to just throw that out the window. This church was founded on the principles of Jesus Christ and God's Word. Therefore, it'll always stand as long as it stands on the Word of God. This church will be here as long as God allows it to be here. It's an honor to be in the body of Christ and to be a member of Mount Lebanon. I'm proud to be a member of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. But it's not, and I'm not even done with the scripture, so let me get done with that. More feeble are necessary. Verse 23 says, "And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism or division," that's what that word means, "in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Let's pray. Almighty God, just bow unworthy and unfit head to you today. God, just asking you to pour your spirit upon our family. God, we need you. We need you through this time. God, we need you for the future. We need you, God, no matter what. You're all we can call upon. If this country's in a mess, you know, all the killings and the cop killings and the cop hatred and just division, racial division, it's a tool of the devil, God. He's here to steal, kill, and destroy. But we need to see for what he's doing. Why he's doing it, God, he hates us. He hates you. He hates anybody that believes in you. God, I just ask you to keep him away from us. Keep him out of my thoughts. Keep him out of everyone's thoughts in here today, God. Help us, God. I just need you more than anything. Please speak to your people through me, God. Let me be the vessel that you would want to use today, God. Thank you for this turnout, God. Thank you for everybody that decided to come today, God. Thank you for that. People don't have to come to church, God. It's a blessing to be standing in a church house that's relatively full, God. Thank you, God, for Jesus and what he did for us at Calvary. It's in his name that we do all of this, God. We can't stand and preach without God's power, without your power, without the blood of Jesus. God, it's all about you and the Spirit and what you do through us and for us, God. Help us to be what we need to be in this lost and dying world. In your precious holy name, God, we love you. Thank you so much. In your name we pray. Amen. But that is such a beautiful scripture because it tells us all that we're all important from the toddlers to the teenagers. It does not matter from the seasoned to the middle-aged. Every single one of us has a place in this church. Nobody's above the other one. Nobody's lower than the other one. There's that respect thing, Brother Mike, where Brother Mike got. That's that respect thing. We got to respect each other to get along in the house of God. But you know one thing that I've told these boys and every one of the wrestlers that's sitting here right now know, and you ought to watch me say this to the ones that's never been around me much, and I can't wait for that big old boy from California to get here and watch his eyes when I look him in the eyes and tell him I love him. Because Coach John Mark hears it, Barrett knows it, Sean knows it, Caleb knows it. I tell them I love them. You know why? Because I do. I couldn't love them if God didn't love me first, because I wouldn't know how to love them. I love them. I love these right here more than my life. And Abby, and thank y'all for coming, because you know I love you. And you love us. It's unreal, the reciprocating love that we get from these college students. They are worth it, church. These little ones, they're worth it. They're worth it. Is Jacob back there? But I love on Jacob, and I've told him I love him until he tells me he loves me back. I love that, because the only way someone knows you love them is if you tell them. Because I tell these wrestlers, I may never meet you again, I may never know you again, but I want you to know that I love you if I never see you again. That's what we got to do as a church. We got to love people. We got to start drawing people in here. We got to go to the lost and dying world and tell them, God loves you, but this church loves you. Love is what it's all about. And I didn't. I used to sit and I used to think, and I never knew that I lived a solitary life kind of before me and Jenny got married. I worked on the road. I stayed on the road a lot. But you know, Colton said this one time when he was younger, and he said, Dad, I truly believe you could put us in a bunker and we'd live underground. And the only time you get out is when you go to work and come home. And we you might let us out, but I'm a protector. That's what I want to be. But I love to be around people now. I used to not be that way. But you know why? Because Jesus loved people. You know why? Because Jesus puts it in you to love people, because we are people that need companionship. This COVID mess like to kill me. I couldn't be with those kids. I couldn't love on those kids. I couldn't feed those kids. This church couldn't feed those kids. We couldn't take care of those kids because we were locked up. We couldn't do anything. But praise the Lord, that's kindly getting lifted a little bit now. And things are starting to get a little bit back to normal. Praise the Lord, we'll be on campus next year with them. And if nothing changes, and we'll get to feed them again, and we'll get to worship with them again, and we'll get to fellowship with them again. But that's what that's an outreach of this church. This is an outreach of you. You're my family. Those kids are your family. Those wrestlers that come with Brother John Mark, they're our family. They need us while they're not home. There's freshmen that come in here. There's freshmen that come to collegians. There's freshmen that come to this wrestling team that have never been away from home.
It's got to be a scary time. We need to comfort. We need to love. We need to give them whatever they need whenever they need it. That's what we are as a church family. That's what we have to do. But we're all not the same. We can't all do what one other one does. But one of them's got to strengthen one. One's got to strengthen another. But that's what that scripture's telling us, is to love each other for who we are, what we are. I am what I am by the grace of God. You sit and think about that. I am what I am by the grace of God, and I'm not much. I'm the first one to tell you that. But I'm telling you, I don't get what I deserve because of the mercy of Jesus Christ. You don't get what you deserve because of the grace and love and mercy of Jesus Christ. We don't get what we deserve sometimes because He loves us more than that. He could let me leave this world when I was in my teens. He could let me leave this world a wicked, wicked unbeliever, an infidel. I didn't want anything to do with God. Because why? Because I was selfish and wanted to live Tim's way. Why are you an enemy of God? Because you're selfish and you want to live your way. That's what makes you an enemy of God. You can't have it both ways. You can't live in the world and live in God. There's no way. His word tells us that over and over and over. You can't be two things. A chameleon is a chameleon. It can change its color to be whatever it needs to be around its surroundings. That's just what it does. But a leper can't change his spots no matter what. And the truth will always set you free if you want it to, but it'll always find you out. The truth is the truth. The truth is God's word. It's never going to falter. It's never going to fail. The truth will always stand because the truth's what will help you. There's nothing that can help you more than God's word. Nobody can help you as much as God. But He gave us His word to help us. I ain't nowhere where I'm supposed to be, but God knows where I'm supposed to be. That's what I love about Him. I can write out 12 pages of scripture, but that don't matter. If God goes, you better go. But I love you, and it's amazing that we are standing united where we're at. We have to unify more than we've ever been in this church right now. More than ever. Because the world wants to see us fail. Satan wants to see us fail. Everybody wants to see us fail. But let's not fail. If we stand on the word, the principles of God, we're never going to fail. I look at that little one right over there. She don't even know I'm talking about her. I always say she's one letter away from heaven. Her name is Haven. And I love Haven. I love you. See? She knows I love her because I tell her. Jacob. Love you. Did he say it? See? He hears me. He knows me. That's the beauty. I knelt down and told my uncle yesterday. He was in and out. I mean, if he woke up, he was awake for 10 seconds at a time. And he'd say, "Doc, come here. We get tickled at." And then he would say, "Where are we going?" Or, "I'm ready." Or, "We're getting ready." And he knew where he was going. But I got over to him and right before me and Jenny leaved, and I leaned down there and I said, "Well, he always," and she told me something yesterday that absolutely me and Jenny loved it. She said, ever since he's been sick, he would say, "Doc Kirby," not just Doc Kirby, "I love you." And he would make her say, "Fred Kirby, I love you." And he'd say, "Give me a kiss." And he did that yesterday, and she'd lean over and kiss him. And when I got ready to leave, I got over him and I said, "You want me to give you a kiss?" And his eyes got, he opened his eyes. And he knows my voice. He's heard me a lot, a long time. But I was picking at him, but he kindly grinned at me and I said, "I love you." And he looked me dead in the eyes and he said, "I love you too." And I told him again before I walked out, I said, "I love you." And I heard that man tell me he loved me twice before I walked out of that hospice room. That matters to me because it's in me now. I know that that man loves me. I tell you I love you because I love you. It's not just words. You got to love other people. We got to love other people. What, you know, they talked about, and we've been talking about it, the publicans and the sinners. That's who Jesus went to. He loved sinners. He hadn't loved sinners, they wouldn't be no church. Because others were just too high and mighty to get what he was given, to understand what he did. His own people put him to death. They crucified him. That's what they did. That because they hated him. How could you hate a man with that much love? Because you're full of Satan. You can't have Satan and love in your life at the same time. There's no way. It don't work. It's a struggle. It's a fight. It's a fight if you're a child of God, just to make it through this life. And you know, we're getting bombarded from every side. And the country is at a tipping point. And we better be careful with what we're doing with our country. You know, I'm just throwing that out there. But no, the number one point, believe it or not, is what is your function in the family? What are you to do in this church? What is your function? That's what all of that we just read. That's what we started about. That I cannot say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not important. Yeah, the eye is important. These little toddlers is important. These elderly seasoned people are important. It says so right there. They deserve a little bit more. I love elderly men. And you know what really helped me right after I got saved? It is men that were honest enough with me to look me in the eyes and say, son, you ain't the only one that's been down the road you've been down. That'll help you if you're lost and you've been a drunk and you know, when someone else says, I've been down the road you've been down, that helps you because you know that you're not the only one. The way you get in touch with these right here, there's no magic to touching their lives. You just got to let them know you're interested. It's no magic thing. It's something that you can't be scared to do, because I promise you, if you've got enough about you to talk to them, they'll talk back to you. I can go back there and grab any one of them wrestlers up right now and hug them and tell them I love them. They'll hug me back because I've been around them and I love them. They know it. Got to meet Emma last week. Sweetheart, have you been here before? Was last week the first week? Okay, see? But she knows me and I know her. If I see her on campus, I'm going to talk to her. If I see somebody, if y'all see these kids out, speak to them. It's a blessing that they're sitting in this church house. They didn't have to come today. They don't have to come anytime. And what I love about Collegians, that's to be on Thursday night next year, is they don't have to. They come because they choose to come. Their lives are hectic and busy. Right now is finals week. Some of them could probably, I guarantee, could be at home studying right now, but they're in the house of God. We need to praise the Lord for that. Some of them could be at home right now, but they're here. Think about that, church. They're an integral part of this church. Everybody sitting in here is an integral part of this church. It is a living unit. It's God. It's Jesus Christ. It's alive. Yeah, some's going to pass away, but some's going to be born. God's church is never going to go away. Never. Until it goes up. And it's going up. And the way it's looking, it ain't going to be long. But don't ever think you're not an important part of this church. Everybody in here is. We all are. And you don't lose who you are as an individual when you're in that body. That's what I love about, you know, and I said, I am what I am by the grace of God. What I used to be, I was not fit to be in anything but hell. But He took me, He saved my soul, He kept me from dying, He gave me a wife that loved me through some bad times. And I say it, and I'm not ashamed to say it, because I was mean. Believe it or not, as sweet as I am, I was mean. And Cade was never born. Colton, I praise the Lord, he never got to hear how foul I was. He never got to see anything. But they have heard stories that's kindly held against them because of who they are. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. And you know, it's your daddy's Tim Kirby. Did you know this? And Jenny used to cut people off. It was so foul. I loved it. Because I've been as honest with that one individual human being right there as I've ever been with any human being in my life. That's what you need to be with your spouse. But she knew all about me before everybody started telling her the tales. They'd say, well, did you know he did? She'd say, yeah, he's told me. Did you know? Yeah, he told me. I know she knew what she was getting when she got it. Didn't she get her something? Man alive. But I always say she couldn't see good back then. But her ears has always been good, because I've always been loud. But Romans 8, verses 16 and 17 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. There's that one common pull, that one common bond. That we are, I'm going to start over, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's how you know. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I'll never get that, never understand that. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. So you, when you decide to become a child of God's, and it's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life, accepting or rejecting Jesus Christ and what He did for you. He took your sins to Calvary. He died in your place. And you know, I heard a song the other day, and there's a message in it, and I just, the Lord, give it to me whenever. But you know, I love you because I say I love you. Jesus loved you and He proved it. He went to the cross. He proved His love no matter what. He proved it to everybody sitting in here.
He did not withhold his love from anyone. He proved it. He proved it by hanging on that cross and dying the most gruesome, cruel death that's ever been imagined. Ever. That's what he did. The worst death that you could imagine, he went through it for you, for your sins. And yeah, we still mess up. That's just what we are. But you know what? He cleans us up and sends us on our way. If you're a child of God, he'll give you a bath and send you on. He knows how to forgive because he already has. All you got to do is ask him. He's a loving father. He's our father. He's our heavenly father. He's our earthly father. Because that's who we follow. That's who we need to pattern our lives around, is him. That's who he is. That's Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:1-2 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." If you're a son, you're in the family. If you're a daughter, you're in the family. You're in the family of God. "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." That's why the world hates us. They don't know what they're hating. They truly have never experienced and tasted the greatness and goodness of God, so therefore they don't really know why they hate it. It's just not up their alley. It just not doesn't fit them at this time in their life. You've heard all excuses. "But beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." We're still going to be a whole lot better than we are right now. That's amazing. I mean, life's tough. I live it just like you do. Life is tough. But we're going to be a whole lot better than what we are right now. "But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." Can you imagine that? When he comes, you're going to know him because you're going to go to him. You're automatically going to be drawn to Jesus Christ when he comes back in the eastern sky, because you're his. You're automatically going to be drawn to him in the vapor, in the twinkling of an eye. You're going to be with him in his presence. And guess what? He'll never leave you again. Everything he does from that point on, you'll be with him. You'll be with him. And it's that heaven is, we can't fathom it. I can't ever get a hold of it. But, you know, I was going to talk, you know, Colton and Kate are Kirby's by birth. They can't change that. They can change their name if they want to be. They can change it, but they can't ever get away from who they are. And you know, Uncle Fred's my last uncle on the Kirby side. And you know, Colton and Kate are Kirby's because they're my sons. There's no denying that they're my sons. My blood is in them. But bless her heart, she chose to be a Kirby. Didn't think about that. She chose to become one. She changed her name to become a Kirby. But guess what? What is our common name, every believer? We all have a common name. It's called Christian. It's a Christian. Are you a Christian? And I know that there's some that masquerade out there as Christians that are not. The Word says that we're not going there. But there's religions that claim Christianity that do not believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They do not believe he is all man and all God. They do not trust in the Holy Spirit. They're denying the main one ingredient in any cult you ever run into in your life. They're missing one main ingredient. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer to everything. That's why God sent him. There's no other way that the world could be saved except through Jesus Christ. You can't get there except through Jesus Christ. "I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Jesus Christ. He said that. He's the only way. He's the truth. He's the only way. He's the only righteousness. He's the only Savior. He's the only one that can fully forgive you your sins and you go to heaven. It's all through Jesus. That's who he is. But you know, we're Christian. Christian means to be Christ-like. That's what we need to portray to the world out in the world, is I'm a Christian. Does the world know you're a Christian? Does the world respect that you're a Christian? Do they treat you like a Christian, or do they cuss right in front of you like they do everybody else? Do you get right up there and listen to the dirty jokes? Do you get right up there? You see what I'm saying? You got to separate, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. You got to separate from the world to be a God follower. And it hurts sometimes, because you're leaving some things that you think you love. And some of us have to separate from our own families because of who we love the most. That's Jesus Christ. It's true. The Word says it. And he talks about it a lot. But you know, I look at these wrestlers, and they come in here as freshmen. And I remember Sean, he's from New York, big eyed. Man, I love that. Yeah, when he come in here. And Caleb's the same way. But they came in here and they learn and they respect. But you know why that they're going to be better wrestlers? Because they listen to instruction and they listen to experience.
They listen to that man that's sitting right there that coaches them. Barrett's right in that boat. He's going to be right up there. It's you guys. John Mark has built this team. He has built his coaching staff. And the only way you get better is to spend time with each other and to spend time with that man right there. I've seen him come in here with black eyes. I've seen him come in here. His head was skin open last week. John's fingernails. I always cut up with him. I said, what happened, coach? I had John's fingernails. And, that's a relationship that me and coach have. And you know, we talk about, you know, the one just coming up. And I said, coach, you want to get some big boys in here. He knew it before I knew it. And he got some big boys coming in here this year. He's loaded down low. But in a few years, guess what? He'll probably be loaded with big guys. He's going to have to go back after this. But you guys will get better because you spend time together and you listen to that man right there. That's the way we are as a church. We'll get better being together and we'll get better listening to Jesus Christ. That's the only way we'll grow. But you'll always be better if you'll listen to somebody. Other people, and you know, you got to listen to instruction sometimes. You don't have to experience what I experienced to trust me to know what I've been through. But you do have to be informed that I went through it, but you have to listen to the instruction that I'm giving you. Please don't go down the road I've been down. Please don't go down where I've been. You don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. Carrie, she was sitting over there, and I was tickled to death. He told me he was coming today, and he knows me from back. He knows me from back. And there's nothing to be proud of there. Sister Kim knows me from back there. There's nothing that I can look back on and say, man, I missed that. Because there's nothing back there to miss. There's nothing you can go back and relive. I can't ever see my uncle dead or alive again. He passed away yesterday. I can't go back to that day. You can't go back to yesterday. We've got today and we've got tomorrow if God gives it to us. Don't ever dwell on the past because the past will haunt you and eat you up. I promise you. I've lived it. I promise you. It's what it is. But number two, it is number one was function. Number two is faithful. You know, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Starting in 14. Ephesians 3 verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. There's that name. If you're His, you're a Christian. You're named after Jesus. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with the might by His Spirit in the inner man. We need that more right now than ever. He needs to strengthen our inner man. We are getting beat up living in this world, and I live in the same one you do, and it's really getting bothersome. If you try to live halfway right, people is there to ridicule you. People's there to beat you up. But persecution's going to come. He said, I went through it. You're going to go through it. If you're a follower of mine, you're going to be persecuted. That's what he says. Verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse number 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. There's the love of God. The magnitude of love's God. You can't measure the depth, the height, the width, none of it. His love is more than all of us. I've always said the whole world combines love cannot compare to God's love. We don't have it. We don't have that capability to love the way God loves. God loves us in spite of ourselves. God loves us in case it doesn't. He's the only one that loves us in our sinful state. And you know, when we become saved, we'll kindly look down our nose on a sinner. That's not right. Trust me, we can't do that. You've got to remember what you used to be. And every single one of us was in the same boat. There's been people saved a whole lot longer than me, but there ain't nobody saved any better than me.
I always remember that. We're all saved the same way through the blood of Jesus Christ. Nobody's up here and nobody's down here. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. When you go to Jesus Christ and His cross and Him crucified, everybody's the same. He does not respect people. He does not respect your money. He does not respect your heritage. He does not respect anything but who you are as a human being. And He gave you a soul that's going to live forever and ever and ever. Your spirit will be alive forever and ever. And it's going to live in one of two places. It's going to live in hell or it's going to live in heaven with Him. You're going to be separated from this great vast love of God. I think that's going to be what most people are going to remember. I don't think they're going to remember, well, my loved ones are in heaven. Because God would be the only one that could come see you while you're in hell. He's the only one that could go there. It's Jesus Christ. If He comes to see you and you're in hell, you're going to remember that I'm separated from the only way that I could have got to heaven. The only way. And it was my pride and it was what I thought I wanted to do and be as a human being. I wouldn't line up with what God wanted me to be, so therefore I'm in hell on my own merit. And a lot of people say, why could a loving God cast somebody to hell? Because He's God and He does not cast you to hell. You cast yourself into hell. He just goes through with the process. And in that lake of fire, when that's the final resting place, you'll never put the fire out. You'll never get that fire put out in your life because that fire is going to be hotter. It's going to burn forever, but you're going to burn forever. That's the reality of heaven and hell. It's just what it is. It's what the Bible says. But you know, that inner man. But it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. There's that being faithful. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints God's love. The only way you'll ever get a grasp on God's love is to be one of His. When we're still not going to get it all until we get there. And you know, His body is not going to look like ours in heaven. It's still going to be scarred from sin. Think of that. You get a new body. You get to go up there, and I praise the Lord I don't have to go up there in this. Because this is a carcass. It's really getting wore out. It's really having to get a lot of shots. Me and Coach talking about getting cortisone shots the other night. I mean, I have to get shots just to do my daily work while I perform the duties for my family. You know, and I'm talking to people that's worked harder than me, longer than me. It hurts. Getting older hurts. But guess what? I get a new body. So do you. Jesus Christ will still be in His. He'll still be in that body because it's always going to be a reminder of what He did for us. It's always going to remind us. And He's going to be the one we're going to thank. And yeah, we get crowns. And I've always thought about that. I don't deserve a crown. What do I deserve a crown for? But we give them back to Him. That's what we get to give back to Him. But we give Him our lives if you trust Him and totally with your life. He's already getting something from you if you'll let Him do it. But Galatians 3:26, it says, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. It's the only way you'll get there is through faith. It's the only way. It's believing something you cannot see. You got to believe that it happened. You got to believe that He died and was crucified. He crucified, was put in that tomb, and in 3 days He arose. And He's at the right hand of the Father right now. That's where He's at, waiting to come back. That's the only thing that's got to happen yet in the book of Revelation. Is Jesus has got to come back, and then the book of Revelation will start. And it's not going to be a fun place for a lost world. Revelation's going to be tough. But if you're a child of God, you don't need to fear Revelation because you're not going to be in it. You're going to be with Him. So therefore, you're not going to go through the tribulation if you're a child of God's now. Okay. Function, faithful. Number three is firm. Do you stand firm in the family? Are you firm? Hebrews 3:6 says, but Christ as a son over His own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the world. Are you holding firmly on to that hope? It's that hope. It's all we got. It's Him coming back. And it says, and I can't quote it, but if this is all we have, we live most miserable. That it's never going to get better, but it's going to get better and it's going to get the best yet. And you know, we all go through ups and downs. We all have good times and bad times, but it's going to get good and it's not going to get bad again. It's going to get the best and it's going to stay the best and it's going to be with heaven. It's going to be a life in heaven forever and ever and ever. So we're not saved. I read this, it's in the footnotes in my Bible. I wished I'd have been smart enough to come up with this, but we are not saved by persevering. But perseverance shows that your faith is real. When you go through some hard times, this church is going through a hard time. If we've got the faith in Jesus Christ to take care of it, He's going to take care of it. I'll go out. I ain't even going to say I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm just going to stand right here and say He's already taken care of it. We just got to allow it to happen. Perseverance, pain is something that we all go through, and there's always something behind the pain. There's a growing from it. I think of my wife and her childbirth and the pain she went through to birth those two baby boys, and I sit and I think about that, and it brings back that to my remembrance, the pain, but to watch her smile when they handed her those babies, and the love and the birth, and that's what we've got to go through as a church. God, we're going to go through it. We've got to have a birthing process again. But we need to birth some more babies into God's salvation. We got to live by example. We got to show them that we love them. We got to let them be who they are. I can't change you. I can only work on me. I'll never forget this when we started going to counseling, and it was one of the greatest things we ever did in our family, or our marriage. Is I went in there, and I went in there like I would go into any situation, kind of like half drawn back and not really listening. And that woman sitting over there, just as prim and proper, I love her. To this day, I love that couple. Because they was a Christian couple that helped me and Jenny. And we were sitting there, and she started talking to Jenny, and Jenny was just being honest, just belting it out, you know. And I'm sitting there, and I thought, wow. And I really didn't want to be there, to be honest with you. And she looked over at me, and she said, "Tim, what do you want?" I said, "I want you to fix her." And I'm going to tell you something. Her smiling quit, and she looked me dead in the eyes. I'll never forget it. She said, "She ain't broken. And she ain't broken. Ain't none of us broken." Always remember that. We don't need to fix other people. Tim had to work on Tim. Tim can't work on Jenny. Jenny's got to work on Jenny. Finley's got to work on Finley. Finley's got more work to do than I am. And you know I'm picking. But I love this man. I love everybody in here. But I can pick with him because he can take it. But we have to work on ourselves. We can't point the finger at someone else and say, "You need to fix this. You need to do this. You need to do that." No, I need to look in the mirror and fix me. And I'll never be fixed until we get to heaven. We'll never be fixed. We'll never be whole. We'll never be perfect until we get there. That's when you get help. But when you got to realize that it's not... She doesn't look back at me in the mirror. I look back at me in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Who are you? Are you living the way you need to be living? Do we do what we need to do as a church? Do we do what we need to do individually? You know, that's a challenge. It's something that we need to take serious. But, you know, we're not saved by persevering, but perseverance shows that your faith is real. Number four is focus. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. And I sat and I thought about that a lot today. What is Mount Lebanon's focus? What is our focus for the future? What do we need to pinpoint something? It's like looking through crosshairs in a scope. You got to see you can see a whole deer, but you got to pinpoint a target on that deer. You can't just shoot because, trust me, it's bad if you don't hit a deer right. But you got to pinpoint. What is Mount Lebanon's pinpoint focus right now? What are we going to do from this step forward? What are we going to do? What is our focus? But if we lose our vision, the people perish. Who are the people? It's a lost and dying world. But if we lose our focus, the church is going to start falling in numbers. I'm being honest. Y'all know I am. I've been through it. I've seen it. But if we lose our focus on what we're truly about, numbers are going to start dwindling. You talk about blessing me to stand here and look at how many people are here. And Brother Norman said it the other night, Wednesday night. We got to stand united right now. We got to love each other more than we've ever loved each other. And I even love John Dees more today than I did when I come here. John's hard to love. But I love him and he knows I do. John's been around me a long time. He coached me years and years and years ago. He's seen me. He's seen what I used to be. I'm not proud of that. But I guarantee you, it's amazing to him to see what I am now. Because it's only by God that any of us are what we are. Amen. And none of us are, none not worthy, no not one. I don't think I'm getting on a big high horse right here. I'm not worthy of anything. I'm not righteous. I'm not worthy.
I'm just saved. So is everybody else in here if you're a child of God? You're saved. You're in the family. You're in the family. Number five, this will be the last place you turn back to 2 Corinthians instead of 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6, starting 14. It says, "Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." That's strong scripture right there. If you highlight your Bible, highlight it. Because he said what he would be if we will separate. He said, I will dwell in them, I'll be their God. That's who he is. I'll walk with you. If we're his people. Verse 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." That's beautiful scripture, because we have to separate. You know that if you're in a family and you're the only one saved in your family and you're a child and your mom and dad's lost, when you get age of, you need to always honor. Don't get me wrong, he's always said that. We need to honor our parents. But if it's not right in your spiritual growth, you need to separate. And that leaving and cleaving, I love that, because when you find the mate that you're going to be with, you leave your family and you cleave with that person and you become one. Twain becomes one. You are one unity. You're one entity then. That's what Jennifer and Tim are, is one entity. If you're married, that's what you are, is one entity. But you had to leave some things. Some of us think that, I wasn't a good witness to my parents, or wasn't a good witness to my brothers or sisters or people, but if they don't live like you live and they don't have that spirit dwelling within you, you're not going to get along with them. If you're out in the world and your buddies are not saved and you're still trying to run with the same buddies you used to run with, you're not going to run with them and have any fun, because you're different than they are. It says to separate. That means to get apart from each other. It doesn't mean, but that's what God's telling us in his word right there, is that we got to separate from the world. The world wants to take us down. It wants to see us fail. It wants to see us all eat up with sin. We're all sinners, none of us are above it. But separate from it, get away from it, and guarantee you, it ain't as easy to sin, because God will speak to you more when you get away from certain stuff. He'll be able to speak to you more. And I did this, and the college kids may have to tell me the way I said it, but sin, people can entice you to sin, but nobody can force you to sin. Nobody can force you to sin. Sit and think about that. I mean, people can force you to do a lot of things, but they can't make you be bad. You've got to separate from anyone that's trying to make you not be good. That's just plain old hillbilly English right there, but you got to separate. You got to be away from anything that's not good. Because if you're a child of God's, he tells us to separate right there. And it's okay that if you don't get along with certain people, it still doesn't mean you don't love them and don't pray for them, but separate from them. It's sometimes you have to separate from certain things to grow. Think about that. Sometimes things have to die and move on before certain things will grow. Just the facts of life. It's just the way that it is. But, you know, that's why we don't get along with sin, and we shouldn't get along with the sinful world. That's why. That scripture tells us that right there. But we have to distance and we have to separate. You got to build a wall. You got to keep them keep them at a distance. You can still love people that are lost, and that's what God wants us to do. And Brother Tim taught on that, and he didn't get into the Great Commission, because the Great Commission is go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. You're a preacher, but you're not a preacher. But we're all preachers. We're all to proclaim. We're all to proclaim that Jesus Christ saved us. If you'll go into all the world is wherever you live. Doesn't mean I have to go to Taiwan or Asia or anywhere over Europe, anywhere, Russia. It means everybody that I come in contact with, I need to tell them what God's done for me. This church will grow if we'll do that. The world of growth will do that. The community of growth will do that. Appalachian State University will get they'll grow if we'll do that. Our high schools, our elementary schools. Tell people what God's done for you. That's what they need to hear. And it's not, you know, and the world thinks you have to give up a whole lot to be a Christian. You gain a whole lot more by being a Christian. Trust me. When you get to sit and think about eternal life, a heaven that's only for His people, man alive, it should excite you. The Word of God is just perfect. It's holy. It's what it is. That's fulfilling. Number six is future. John 14, 2 and 3 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." My uncle left here yesterday, and today he is seeing his mansion. I sit and God gave me this thought earlier in the week. This is 2021. Jesus Christ has been dead for 2021 years. God spoke the world into existence because He wanted to. Jesus and God are building heaven as we speak. They've had 2021 years to work on heaven. And He spoke the world into existence just by the power of His voice. Just because He wanted to. But He wants to create us a place where we're going to be happy, and we can't fuss, and we can't complain, and we can't have aches and pains because He's going to give us that new body. I ain't going to ever be able to fuss about hurting anymore. I'm never going to be able to fuss about anything anymore in heaven because it's perfect. There's going to be no, it's perfect. There's going to be nothing there that's going to upset us, make us mad, make us sad. It's going to be a happy, perfect place because He said, "If I go away, I will come again." That's what He's going to do. But He's building your heaven as we speak. Is it done? I don't know. We'll find out. Because unless He comes back in the rapture, we're all going to start dropping off the face of the earth. Trust me, that's just part of life. 1 out of 1 people die. 10 out of 10 people die. 100 out of 100. Unless Jesus comes back, and then there's going to be a mass exodus. There's going to be a whole lot of well, He knows where Moses is buried. No man does. But, you know, they only a few left this earth in bodily form. But we'll all leave in bodily form when Jesus comes back. Unless you go by the grave, but then guess what? You're in heaven forever. That's who He is. It's the beauty of who He is. And, you know, but you know, I've talked a whole lot about being in the family. But I'm going to finish on this. But if you're not in the family, you can be. Today. Today's the day of salvation. You know, today is the day that if God's speaking to your heart, that you can get into the family. Today is the day that you don't ever have to fear dying again. Today is that day. He tells us that. If the Spirit's drawing you, you need to do business with God. And I've even forgot to say it. If God's dealing with you, you come to the altar at any time you need to. It ain't going to affect me. You know, God's bigger than all that. God can take care of what you need. But you know, John 1 and 2 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." If you receive Him and you believe Him, you're a child of His. It says it right there in Scripture. That's in the book of John. That's when John started writing. And John wrote about how lovely Jesus is, the love of Jesus. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." And John 3 and 3, very familiar, said, "Jesus answered and saith unto him," he's talking to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And the kingdom of God, Tim was talking about the kingdom of God in Sunday school. The kingdom of God, you're not going to see unless you're born again. You have to be born again. You have to be in the family. You have to be in the church. Doesn't necessarily mean Mount Lebanon church. You got to be in the church, which is Jesus Christ. You got to be in His body. That's what I'm saying. It's not you have to become a member here, but you have to become a member of Him. You have to be one of those members that we read first. Many members make up one body. It's His body. It's His perfect body. That's why He died for us, to make up His body. Well, brother, if y'all will, we'll sing. And you know, if anybody needs to come up here and pray, please do. If you need me, I'm here. There's other men in here more qualified than I am to help you. And, you know, God's good. We need to keep focused on what He's going to do. We don't know what He's going to do. But we can't get out of the family. I love this church. You know I do. And I love the people that come here. I've got a relationship with pretty much everybody in here. I got a relationship with some that ain't even been coming long. But God is good. We got to trust Him what He's doing. But He knows, because we don't. And sometimes we wanna complicate things when we don't need to. Sometimes we just sit back and let Him do what He wants to do. Girls, if y'all will come up and play, and we'll bow our heads, and brother, we'll sing a song. Anybody need to do anything with Jesus Christ, do it. It's never too late if you're breathing. But it can get real late in a hurry when you take your last breath.